This is his subtle way of telling me that that story wasn't very interesting.
Like, in the back of your bed, there's this one porn star like, am I a joke to you?
AFI. Backstage Stories.
Boom, and we're live. Dude, I'm trying to get used to these, like everything that I'm dealing with these days, it's all Zoom. And this is the first time like calling with you that I've even seen Skype. I feel like Skype is like the Facebook and Zoom is Instagram or TikTok or something. Like, why? I mean, whoever invented Zoom like got so lucky that Corona happened.
Yeah, of course. There have been those evil memes that the CEO of Zoom somehow started coronavirus or something.
Dude, I would not be surprised. I had never heard of it at all. And now it's like Skype doesn't even exist anymore. Now it's only Zoom. I'm getting emails about meeting IDs and passwords. And I never knew anything about this at all. All of a sudden, it's like, achoo, hey, that's Zoom, you know?
Yeah.
It's crazy.
But it's not even that nice. And I just realized because when I'm in Zoom calls that are organized by my company, by the radio station, there is no limit to it. But when I want to do a Zoom call with my basic private account, it always cuts me off after 40 minutes. And I would have to buy some kind of abo for $10 a month or something.
Really? That's ridiculous.
Yeah, that's super weird.
No, but I mean, I guess the only really cool thing about it, though, is that you can, for example, the first time I ever used Zoom and I had like the whole staff at this day job, I work at a Grundschule, at an elementary school, and we had to have a Zoom call to talk about, you know, the upcoming pandemic and how we're going to change the organization and everything. And then we had, you know, this screen with like 30 something people on it. And I hadn't seen any of these people for upwards of 5 or 6 weeks. So, you know, the first moment that you open it up, it's kind of cool. You see everybody at once and you see all their homes and everyone's struggling. You know, the camera's reversed or the microphone's muted or they don't have the right headphone in yet or something, or you hear kids in the background. And it's kind of cool. But then very quickly, I found myself zoning out. Or just realizing that, you know, if I feel invisible, then I kind of am invisible in this, and everyone just has to raise their hand like they're back in school or put a thumbs up if they like what the mediator said. So it's not, I don't know. It doesn't really make sense. I don't know.
And I'm in a kind of situation. I have so many video calls regarding my job.
Yeah.
That I'm totally out when any of my friends, and that has nothing to do with how much I like them or not, but I don't want to do any private video calls. It just fucks me up.
Dude, I don't know what happened. Like, ever since Corona happened, I feel like people forgot about normal phone calls.
Yeah, and the best conversations regarding social distancing I had within the last 8 weeks basically happened over a regular phone call.
Yeah, well, absolutely. I think when you're calling colleagues or when you're even just talking with anybody about anything that isn't like one of your best friends that you want to catch up with, it doesn't make any sense that they have to see you face to face. It really doesn't matter. It doesn't change anything. If you hear them on the phone, you get the same, you still hear the tone, you get the same expression. And honestly, they're more relaxed. They're not like the pressure of, you know, being seen. So of course people who talk with audio are going to give you probably more information. It's going to be more chill.
Yeah. And even when I'm, I don't know, just having a chat with a friend of mine, and I would do a video call, I would either have to sit in front of my computer at my desk, which I basically did already, the biggest part of the day because I'm working there, or I would have to carry my phone around with me like this all of the time.
Just swinging it in front of your face.
And sometimes when you want to have a conversation with friends, I don't know, you want to drink a beer, smoke a cigarette, whatever.
Yeah.
And every exactly. time it's like, oh yeah, I'll have to set up the laptop here and the phone there so I can quickly roll a cigarette or get a beer from the fridge or whatever.
Oh,
with the phone call and headphones in, you're just free.
Dude, funny that you mentioned that. Last night, so I'm in a German course right now, and it was twice a week. It's like an intensive course, twice a week, an hour and a half each class. And since Corona happened, they've moved over to Zoom. And I mean, the last thing that I want to see in my house are these, you know, six people that I barely know struggle to say the same things that I'm struggling to say. It's not a very comfortable, normal thing for me to think about. And last night, we kicked off a Zoom that I hadn't joined yet. So I was joining like for the first time in a little while. And I finally got the schedule late or something and joined in. But anyway, it was at like 7:15 and I had been at this school the entire day. I had come home. I had just a couple of hours to myself and then I had to prepare for this Zoom. And man, by the time that they wanted to start, I was starving. I wanted to have a beer. I just wanted to kind of relax. So what I did was when they called, I answered with no video. And then the teacher was like, hello, Jordan. It's nice to meet you. I'm the new teacher for the Zoom lessons, different from the teacher you had in the classroom. You know, we can hear you, but we can't see you. Could you please turn your camera on? And then I was sitting there with like a slice of pizza in my hand, like literally licking my fingers. And I went, I'm really sorry. You know, my computer is broken. It's very old. I have to get it fixed at a shop. But, you know, of course, the shops are kind of complicated right now. So she was like, oh, well, that's a shame. And dude, honestly, it was one of the best German classes I had because I was invisible. I could see all of them. Not that I needed to, but like the fact that they could not see me and you can just press the space bar when you want to talk and when you let go you're muted was great for me, man. Like if someone was talking,
so what did you learn
yesterday? Let's see, I have it right here in front of me. Mr. Big Shot, let's see. Yesterday, well, I can tell you what one of the exercises was. So one of the exercises was setzen Sie das passende Wort ein. So we had to fill in the blank with these very, I guess they're prepositions. And this for me is really like, it's like doing calculus because for me, there's no reason why one fits and one doesn't. And then the next sentence sounds exactly the same. And then the other one fits and the other one doesn't. I don't know.
There are too many of them.
You're right, man. There's way too many. Oh, like for example, like I understand, you know, like reflexive verbs, I've got a good handle on, like, ich interessiere mich. It sounds dumb in English, like I'm interested myself in this topic, but it's kind of like saying, I myself am interested deeply, you know? but you'd say like, ich interessiere mich für Flugzeuge. So like, I'm interested myself for Flugzeug, I guess that's airplanes. Yeah. And then you have like, bewirbt sich die Stelle. But I don't know why it's, or no, for example, like, freuen Sie sich auf die Einladung? Like, are you excited or are you pleased with the invitation? And we spent like 15 minutes explaining why it's auf and not über. Because apparently Alpha's like, oh, it's in the future. I'm thinking, I'm pleased with the fact that I have been invited and I have not been to this thing yet. And then Uber is like, I'm invited here in this moment and I'm thinking over it. And I don't know, it's just tedious.
You gotta think it more basic because it's, I guess, more similar than you might think. Because ich freue mich auf oder freuen auf, you could easily translate with looking forward to.
Right.
But
Yeah.
I somehow understand.
I mean, you have a point. Yeah, you have a point. I mean, for sure. Like, there's whenever some, it's funny, like, whenever some Germans explain some things a certain way and it comes out of nowhere, usually it's at a party or just really, really random, then all of a sudden it just clicks and I go like, oh, well, I get that. But, you know, for some reason I have such a hard time with lessons. And I you know, I can't really blame the teacher. I mean, she tries her best. And this other guy, he was also really cool. But there's something about taking it in the moment that I just don't get. But I have to tell you, since all this started, we mentioned the apps on the last podcast, episode 6. But we're doing German lunches at home now. So every lunch where I'm not at the school, which unfortunately is not this week, I'm there every day, which is crazy. I'm so at risk for Corona, but that's a different conversation. but whenever I'm home and Ify is working from home and we can have lunch together, then that 35, 45 minutes, we realized, because we weren't doing this in the past, this is probably good advice, the best way to speak with someone that you know, whether it's a partner or a friend in a language that you're learning, is, man, pick a theme, pick a topic. We had just never solved that easy puzzle before. We were always trying to speak together, but, you know, if you don't have a subject in mind prepared, then you very quickly lose your steam, because then you're just like, oh, wie geht es dir? Oh, das Wetter ist schön. Und was hast du heute gemacht? Und was ist passiert? You just really end up thinking like, what are you doing? Oh, the weather's nice. And it's very quickly you start just overthinking things and you're hating the whole thing. But what we decided to do, because she writes for film, we met in film school, we both have a big passion for films. We decided, like, you know, we watch a lot of movies. We watch probably easily 4 or 5 films a week, sometimes more. And we decided, hey, let's just talk about the film last night. So one night we watched the 1990s classic Jerry Maguire, which has not aged well. Es ist nicht gut gealtet. And we talked about recently the I think it's Robert Eggers, the new psychological horror film, The Lighthouse, with Robert Pattinson and Willem Dafoe. And each lunch after these films, we would just talk about them and just vent about it. And it was so much more interesting to find. I had the lust, they say, like, I had the passion to want to find what I wanted to say, because I was genuinely interested in the topic. And I think that's the key that we didn't have for a long time.
Yeah, but I can totally refer to that, because basically what we are doing right now is kind of the same thing for me. Obviously, I have been learning English from, I don't know, my first year in high school on, but...
Oh, so you didn't start until gymnasium.
Yeah, you start at elementary school for 2 years, but it's... Dude, it's like your level of German you got after your first 3 months or something. It's like, ooh, okay, there, so it's really is nothing. A blue house, I don't know. And there is a long street like this level. You can just describe basic things you see. But still, for me, it's kind of the same. And when I'm listening through the episodes, I think I can hear more and more progress, because I'm kind of forced to express myself in English once a week. And obviously, and I don't know if this distracts many listeners too much when I'm searching for some terms or something within the episodes.
I mean, if honestly, not to interrupt you, but if they're listening to a podcast called Artsy Fartsy Immigrants and they're judging one of the people talking with struggling with language, then they really found the wrong podcast.
True that. No, but it's my lunch, my German lunch. Is the Artsy Fartsy recordings.
That's it. Yeah, exactly. Your German lunch is the podcast. And I have to say, I'm very thankful that you give so much effort, because it's very encouraging, I think, for me to also dive back into German as much as I can, because, you know, I think when you live in a foreign country and the people around you are always speaking your language, you tend to forget that they're speaking a second language. And even when they struggle for words, like, it becomes so second nature to you. I mean, for me, whenever you struggle for a word, I literally don't think about it. I don't hear it, you know, like I don't notice it anymore. And because I have so many friends who are German who occasionally are looking for a word, and that's just become the norm for me to be in a conversation where that happens. So, like, for example, my friend, our friend Tim Hecking, you know, his mother is Welsh, and his English is quite good. We almost never have any glitches in the conversation, but there are still moments, of course, where he's looking for something, and usually it's because he's very emotionally intelligent, and he usually wants to express something very specific about how he's feeling on a certain topic. And sometimes he needs a moment to, you know, you can picture kind of like what I'm doing now, like two hands making circles in the air, like, give me a second, you know, when this blah, blah, blah. And, you know, that's so, I talk to him so much and I talk to you so much that just becomes normal, but it's funny.
So you don't want to say he didn't age Welsh.
That's terrible. That's, you know, that's such a bad joke that Tim would love it. Tim would love it. He would love that joke. Oh my God. Oh man. I have to tell you, I know that we wanted to focus in on a certain topic today, and we can get there, but I just wanted to say, I usually don't use this podcast for self-promotion, but I did just want to mention, I'm so glad that, you know, this new album will be distributed by this great record label from Hamburg called Pop Up Records. And what I'm trying to say isn't about this, but that's just something you have to know, because some of the bands that they've worked with are some bands that I've cherished and admired and loved since I was, I don't know, 15 or 16 years old. And I just wrote two friends today. One friend was my friend Cody Hopper. And for those listening who are fans of the show Ozark, Cody Hopper is actually a full-time employee of that show. And he is Jason Bateman's stand-in. Have you seen that show before? Okay, yeah. Ozark is this amazing show on Netflix. It's got three seasons now. The third one just dropped like a month ago. And it has Jason Bateman from Arrested Development and other movies and shows. But so he's a friend of mine from, I don't know, since middle school. And, you know, he and I were the black sheep of the town and super close and attached to each other and kind of needing each other as much as we gave to each other. And the other person was Todd Gurley, who was the founder of this record store in our hometown called Top Shelf Records. And me and Cody were always at this location. We became very close friends with Todd. And, you know, we still have a group message that we wrote on it today. But because of this record label recently picking up this album, I had this is such a nice feeling, but I had to write them to tell them, like, guys, can you, like, did you imagine, like, or could you have pictured, you know, 10 years ago, 12 years ago or whatever, hanging out at this record store and, you know, listening to these bands and really ever imagining that this dream of any of us having any sort of anything in common with them would actually come true one day. And I told them that I'm so happy and thankful to have them in my life, and that we've stayed connected and that we've stayed interested and invested in good music. And, you know, when they told me that they were proud and they told me that this is, you know, kind of a win for them too, you know, it made me so happy. I just wanted to tell that, because I think it's kind of sweet. But I love that, man, when you reconnect with old friends over good news.
I think it cut out after you finished your monologue, and I wanted
when you
to
say
react.
Monologue. this. Makes me feel like I spoke way too long. But that's what podcasts are for, man.
Yeah,
but that was kind of the only, that was the kind of news that I wanted to bring about. But yeah, we'll have the first single of the album coming out at the end of next month on May 29th. So we'll talk several times before then, but we just announced it on Instagram yesterday. So I was just excited to talk about it. But yeah, so I want to know, you know, how jam packed are you with video calls with your job and stuff? Cause it seems like it's like, I forget how busy people can get from home office, and man, it really seems like you're one of the busiest people I know from home office.
So my home office works like I'm getting up at 7:30, having breakfast, and then starting work at, yeah, it depends on the days, but mostly something between 8:30 and 9 a.m. until 1. Then I have lunch break, and every day from Monday to Friday on around 2 p.m. I have a video call with my boss and some colleagues.
Every day?
Every day.
Why do you have to have a conference with your colleagues every day?
Because basically nobody in this radio and TV station is working from there except of our boss at the moment.
He's in the office.
Yeah, but he's the only person. And you know how busy the hallway of M94.5 usually is with, I don't know, 50 people being around there. Maybe if there's any, I don't know, big broadcasting, maybe more, whatever. And so everything has to be organized from home, and that's super tough. And
right,
some people work, some people don't.
Right.
And that's why we have a call every day around 2. Or exactly at 2. And then you have different calls for different projects. Like before we started recording, I had a video call which was about feedback for a news podcast we launched last week, and which will be released every Monday from now on.
Oh, really?
And so you have, I don't know, like 4 projects going on, and you have calls for that, then your daily call with your boss, etc. And so at some point you just don't want to see people through through your computer.
Yeah, that's exactly how a lot of these teachers feel that I'm with right now. Like some of the teachers and some of the TAs feel, I mean, honestly, they're kind of working overtime in a sense. And I'm not too concerned about saying this because I know that no one from the administration of the school even knows I do this podcast, so I'm not worried about it. But and plus, I'm not going to say any names. But you know, a lot of these teachers are doing essentially overtime because, you know, now that everything is kind of unorganized and kind of scattered with Zoom calls, they're using first off, a German education software program that is by far not as advanced as, and I'm not even bragging here, but North American and normally, I don't know, Chinese or Japanese education online programs are so much more user-friendly and advanced. And there's definitely a handful of famous ones that anyone in education listening would know about, and we're not using those, and it doesn't really make any sense. So you have people who are not computer savvy, even if they are a little bit, struggling to learn how this program works, and then setting up all of their curriculum for the whole week. At the same time, plans are changing, and then they have to like communicate over Microsoft Teams, and then sometimes that isn't working, and they have to save these files, but they don't know where they are, and then sometimes only certain people have access to them, and then at the school, they, you know, no one. The biggest issue for me, because I'm a big old lazy fatty, is that nobody can use the Wi-Fi at the school. So, you know, even in a normal school week, we're there from, you know, I don't know, 8 until sometimes 4:30 or 5, and there's no Wi-Fi. So you have to use like the school equipment, but it's not up to date, and it's not totally functional with the programs that they want those teachers to use. So, man, they're, you know, sometimes they're getting emails at like 8 p.m., 9 p.m., they check them at home, the plan changes for the next day, they have to catch up. And I mean, honestly, even if you're doing home office, unless you're doing like freelance work, you really shouldn't have to be so concerned with checking emails before, you know, 8-ish and after 6-ish.
Yeah, but it's the same issues for me. And basically, if I would count it, I guess it would turn out that I'm working way more hours than I did before when I regularly went to the office, to the radio station, and worked my shifts there.
For sure. For sure. It's so, I don't know. It's a tricky time because, I mean, I saw this article that came out on, I mean, I know that Vice creates a lot of clickbait, and I definitely don't, I just breeze over a lot of the stuff that they post on Instagram, but they had one article that I thought looked pretty interesting, and I will be honest that I did not read it, but the article, title looked pretty interesting, and it really makes more sense now, and I think I might go back and read it, which is that, you know, doing home office doesn't mean that you're 24/7 on call. And I think a lot of businesses are kind of taking advantage of that fact, thinking like, well, if they're home, then they're available, you know?
Yeah, and on the other hand, you have, I don't have these issues, but I know it from a lot of people, where you have, like their bosses are somehow conservative and don't trust these whole working through computers from home story and whatever. And for them, they believe, okay, if you're not at your working space, you're not working.
Right.
And that leads to some form of, they don't trust their employees that they can, that they can bring the same effort and have the same workload, but there is no alternative. So they can, in many cases, they cannot return to their office or construction place or whatever.
Yeah, exactly.
So they have to work from home, and then you have people who don't trust them that they get their shit done at home.
Yeah,
that's also super, super weird and somehow super dumb. But I think we're, I guess, 8 or 9 weeks into this now, and probably many people at some point got that for many meetings and for many basic jobs, you don't have to meet with this and this and this person in persona. You can just have a quick call. Everyone does what he's supposed to do, and you're fine.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I think it's a really tricky time for a lot of industries. I mean, there's a few people who freelance who I think this might even be a better time for them. Like, I know a lot of writers and painters and musicians and stuff who are kind of thankful for this time. Some of them are a bit more like me. I work so much better with a pretty strict deadline. When I have a smaller window, no matter how much the workload is, I tend to do better work and I tend to do it really on time. But, and I think some people who are similar to that, with all of this open freedom and not really anything, you know, paying them to do it, I think sometimes the creative juices run quite low. But maybe some people are also very thankful for this time, because one thing I've heard a lot of people talking about, which I can totally agree with, at least before and after school stuff, because on the weekends it's like this for me, but a lot of people have said that they're so happy that everything kind of feels like it's slowed down. And I think for people in your job and now especially these teachers I'm working with, I mean, Jesus Christ, it's definitely not the case, but at least maybe a few weeks into this, everything kind of slowed down and you feel kind of connected to everybody in a sense, because I don't know. I mean, that's what social media tries to do, is tries to connect everybody, but I feel like it isolates them even more by far. And I know that I'm kind of spiraling into different things here, but one of my favorite comics is Tom Segura, and he was talking about on his podcast how, you know, comics will release comedy specials on Netflix, and then they'll try to convince themselves to not go on Twitter and to not read all of the feedback, like the reviews and stuff. And he said, even when he goes, when he says like, okay, I'm going to do it. And he goes and he looks at all the comments. And even if they are just like page after page positive, he says it just gives him this anxiety. And I think social media does a very terrible job of bringing people together. Usually it's just fueling a fire that doesn't even need to be there. But for some reason, in a strange way, Corona forcing people to stay at home and finding humor in this strange, tragic time is kind of bringing people together. And especially the fact that everything kind of, for some people, slows down. You know, a few days ago, this might sound tragic to some to some young people, but we didn't have internet. Our internet was down for like 3-4 days, and or even longer. I think maybe 4 or 5. No. Anyway, doesn't matter. But everything here when we were at the house, you know, we found ourselves more productive and also not so stressed about finding time for certain things. Like, I didn't want to waste the data on my phone looking at apps all day, or posting things, or checking things, or, you know, going on YouTube or whatever, or going on Netflix in the middle of the day. Like, we constructed things and moved things around. We painted walls. We cleaned things. We played. We did a puzzle. We did card games. We played table tennis. And, you know, and finally in the evening, like later on, around like 8 or whatever, then we watched a movie that I already had saved on my computer, but that was kind of like the reward for the day. And it felt like the whole thing was just more connected and slowed down. Now, like on weekends, for example, or when you're free from your hectic schedule at the station, do you feel that too or not?
Totally. But even before Corona, I tend to force myself to get offline for a certain amount of time in my free time, on the weekends, whatever. Like here, because this whole situation, and even home office, is stressing me out in many situations. What I do then is, obviously because of the scenery here and the mountains, etc., I go hiking, I get the bike and ride to some mountain lake or whatever, and either leave my phone completely at home or turn it to flight mode and get it in my backpack or somewhere, but not within my little pockets in my pants. So basically at a spot where I don't have direct access to it. And that's something I do, and just to get off. And the big advantage here is that when you... The place where you used to live when you stay in Oberstdorf, when you go all the way back that valley that starts there where your house was, you get to those valleys and at some point you totally lose connection. And that's something great. My best friend who also lives here, he will spend his whole summer at a Alpe, like a little hut in the mountains where they have cows over the summer to feed them on the fresh mountain grass with all the herbs in it and whatever, you know, these kind of things. And he spends his whole summer back there. It's like 20 kilometers away from here, and they don't have any connection there. And he says he's a gamer, and he's super into many different topics regarding the internet or technology or whatever. But he says he's so happy about to just be offline for a whole summer.
Oh, man. I would love that for a whole summer. I mean, you know, even for a week or two, it's kind of nice. But when you can really soak into it and really get used to it, it's so nice, man.
You know what's...
It's yeah.
Do you know what's also better offline than online?
What's that?
Sex.
Depends who you're talking to, homie.
I think that was the worst transmission to our main topic of the episode ever.
You're the Segway King, my friend. Yeah, that's funny. You know, we wanted to dedicate this episode to the topic of like, you know, it's kind of like sex and sexuality and like talk about some stuff, but we just kept rolling with it. I kind of like that.
Yeah.
Let me hear about the, now that the oven's hot, I want to hear about, let's say, you know, young Moritz, has crossed the threshold of puberty. He's now into his teen years. And what was your first exposure to porn?
Exposure to porn.
Also, Moritz, if your mom is listening, I apologize in advance for this.
I don't know. Maybe I find some way to make your mom listen to the podcast as well.
I've never watched any pornography ever. I just go to church and pray every day, and I'm still a virgin. And
mom, you gotta believe me. I never listen to porn. I always mute them. Okay, now. It's not that bad. I always mute them.
Oh God.
My first exposure to porn. I don't know if I get the exact situation, but I guess I was like 12 or 13 years old.
Oh shit! Wow, really young. I mean, in my opinion, like my story was
around 13 years. I guess.
Yeah.
And you're in that weird in between time. So in between being a child and being a teenager, and at some point, I don't know, especially regarding boys, someone has a poster of a naked woman somewhere or whatever.
Right.
And at some point you get there that it's a thing. So sexuality is a thing, basically.
Right.
Because I don't know how it was in your childhood, but in my elementary school times, it was like, yeah, girls are weird. I don't see why I have to do anything with them in whatever circumstances.
Like, why are they important?
And then, yeah, I guess I was 13 years old, and obviously it has been some form of photography or something. So it's been some videos and stuff.
Yeah, that always comes later, right? I mean, at least for us it did. I think maybe you're the last generation where photos came first. I think nowadays,
yeah.
Dude, at the school, there was a kid who was like 9 or 10 years old, and he was discovered watching porn on like a high schooler's phone in the bathroom, dude.
Okay.
Yikes. I feel so bad for that kid. I mean, he's going to be... I don't know if that's going to fuck him up, but I think that's way too young to see porn.
Of course.
I mean, Jesus Christ, dude. He's not even... Yeah. He's like prepubescent.
Yeah, and at when I was 13, at least, and obviously there already has been some technical progress in many ways, but in my sort of bubble, I did not have any device that I could even access some form of porn, and my phone didn't as well. It was a super basic phone. It had internet access, but you gotta pay a shitload of money for it. For like being 2 seconds online, so that
so your parents
was
like,
an option either.
what did you have to Google so urgently, Moritz?
It was for school. No, so I guess it was some form of photos. I don't know, some friend. It was kind of a joke. Got a Playboy magazine or whatever, and you're looking on printed boobs for the first time or something like that.
I'm gonna tell you a funny story. So when I was like 15 years old, I was hanging out at this Top Shelf Records place, and there was a magazine. It was a music magazine somewhere around in the shop, and on the very back page of this magazine, there was a page, and I don't know what year this was. Maybe it was like 2004, 2005. And it was like, it was like a list of all of the popular female actresses of that year, or of that, you know, of that era. So it was like, I don't know, Jessica Alba. I remember her being there. And it, the thing was, it was, I think it was 12 of them. I think they were trying to sell a calendar or something, but none of them were naked. It was only pretty women that you could recognize in bikinis, either clips from movies or, you know, caught on the beach or something. It wasn't like, it wasn't very provocative. It was just like nice images of pretty women. It wasn't like hypersexual or anything. And I remember there was even, I don't know if people watched the Animatrix, the animated Matrix short films that came out during the Matrix trilogy years, but one of the women who was a 3D person, not even real, was in a bikini, and she was one of the women. But I remember I don't even know if I told anybody there, but I ripped the sheet out and I put it in my pocket, and I went home, and for, I don't know, a week or something, maybe less, a few days, that was the source of my, of Jordan's pleasure time. And I remember one day I was taking the bus home from school. It was around 3:30 in the afternoon. And for some reason, I was just really, really, I was really pumped, man. It was going to happen. I was really looking forward to it. So I came home and I went into my bedroom, and just as stereotypically as you can imagine, it was, I had it under my mattress. So, yeah. So I got into my room and I closed. I said hi to my mom was home. It was just me and her. And I said hi. I went right to my room, shut the door, got on my bed, and, like, you know, got kind of like ready. And then I reached my hand under my mattress to feel for this paper. And it had a particular texture to it. I think it was like, you know, vinyl or something, like a thick paper.
Mm-hmm.
But I didn't feel it. I felt a different piece of paper. And I thought, huh, maybe I misplaced it or something. And then I pulled it out, and it was a folded piece of notebook paper. And I unfolded it, and of course my heart's racing. And the piece of paper has some writing on it, and it says, "It's in the trash where trash belongs. Love, Mom."
Savage.
I'll never forget that. I mean, it wasn't even nude. It wasn't like blowjobs or something. It was just like Jessica Alba in a bikini, and my mom threw it in the trash. Dude, that's how conservative and protective they were, man. Like, I couldn't even look at that. So it took a while for me to, like, branch out further and find my own, you know, pathway to pornography. But man, that was not the first time my parents caught something that I was looking at, but definitely that was like that wasn't the last time they caught me, but it was the first one that I can recollect.
But did you have this one cliche moment where one of your parents comes in your room with the really, really bad timing?
Yes. Another kind of funny story. Like, I'll keep it. I'll just mention the most important part in relevance to your question, because the backstory of me having, yeah, but I don't.
Jordan.
That's the problem. Because I think we should do is we should make this like sexuality part one, and then next week when I have more time, we can do sexuality part two and really dive deeper. So the backstory of me having the disc that I'm about to describe is a really, really good story. And it's connected to the arrest stories that I told at the beginning of the Corona specials.
Ooh.
So that's a really cool story too. But basically, because of some interesting things, I had a scratched up, hardly working pornographic DVD. And I happened to have, as part of one of my Christmas wishes, one of those like itsy bitsy tiny like little mini laptop looking DVD players. Do you remember these?
Of course I do. My my dad at some point got one and attached it to the back of the headrest of the driver's seat in the car, so us as kids could watch on a I don't know if we were driving to Italy for vacation, and it was an 8-hour ride. We could watch like two movies.
That's awesome.
There, but the problem is those things were so poorly manufactured that when the road was bumpy or something, the DVD would stop.
Yeah, they were really cheap. It was like the early CD players before they had the anti-skip buttons. So I had one of those too, and I had this DVD in there, and I was in my bedroom, and I was playing, and the thing was, like, this thing, I mean, this DVD barely worked. It was so scratched up and so obviously overplayed by other people that I can tell you about later. And finally, like, one of the scenes worked, and it was just so crazy to see it. You know, I just had never really been exposed to it, and I had never, ever owned a pornographic DVD. I mean, my generation was already... You know, we were like the internet babies. So already everything that I was exploring and looking at was online. So this was the first time I was like, wow, it's real. It's here. It's in my house. It's a DVD. I can hold it. It's crazy. And I was playing a scene and I hadn't necessarily began the process, so to speak, but I was quite ready. And, you know, the adrenaline of like watching it and, you know, the excitement, like the taboo of it and stuff was just pumping through my veins. And the moment that I really was like prepared to start, my dad like just swung open the door, and it was just like the most classic thing, the most classic movement you can imagine from a teenager from any movie, where it was like, I slammed that DVD player closed so hard it could have broken, just pop. And then I pulled my, like, I had a blanket over me, and I just kind of like pulled my knees up, and I was like, hey, what's up, Dad? What's going on? And he was like, what are you watching? And at the time I was really into Dimitri Martin, this stand-up comic. And I did have one of his DVDs, thankfully. And I just slammed it and was like, oh, you know, just checking out some more jokes. It was so obvious, man. My dad was, you know, he let a lot of things go. He was kind of cool. He was kind of like, oh, all right, well, hope they're funny, and then just shut the door.
Just watching some jokes. Do you know these "am I a joke to you" memes?
I think so. Oh my god,
make
them
with the porn stars. So like in the back of your bed, there's this one porn star like, "am I a joke to you?"
Oh man, you know, I know that a few of our dedicated listeners are not going to love that this one has to be so short. I do have to, unfortunately, I have to call it already. But I would say let's do, you know, this is just the beginning of an iceberg, and I want to know so much more about your, you know, your first dates and your first experiences, and, you know, comparing the differences and stuff. And I have so many funny stories I want to tell you. But I have to end it here. But I want to say, you know, thank you so much for your time, Mo. I know you're super busy right now, and we had to kind of cram this in when we could. But I'm really glad that we were able to do it, and it felt super cool. It was really chill.
Yes.
For any of those people listening who enjoyed the show, please go on Apple Podcasts or wherever you get your podcasts, and please give us a good review or a rating or a comment or something. It really helps new listeners find the show. And honestly, just even telling a friend about us goes a long way. So thank you so much for listening. And have another great week, and hopefully everyone stays safe and healthy.
Artsy Fartsy Immigrants, ein Podcast von John Prinz und Moritz Batscheider, produziert für M94.5.